This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, How Schools Shape Health. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Before you send your kids to school, you have to take care of this.
Which one's your left?
Vaccines.
You're going to be all right.
You'll be fine. Watch. 1, 2, 3.
Most schools in the U.S. require vaccinations and records documenting that students have gotten all of their shots. If parents want to opt out, they have to get an exemption. But how did we get there? How did schools become enforcers of vaccine policies? Reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt is here now, and he's looked into that long history. Hey, Avi.
Hey, Maiken.
So where does this story begin? When do schools get interested in vaccines?
Well, when you look into the history, it turns out that the relationship between vaccines and schools is about as old as kids having to go to school. In the middle of the 19th century, more states are passing laws that require kids to go to school rather than, you know, working through their childhood.
So this is also the industrial age. Cities are growing. I'm guessing schools are growing.
Yeah.
And then you have a whole bunch of kids in classrooms together.
Exactly, right? And that means they're like swapping germs together. And pretty soon, public health officials know that they've got a problem on their hands. And I talked about this with James Colgrove. He's a historian at Columbia University.
Kids are always more vulnerable to infectious diseases. And when you start to put more and more kids together in the same place, it's a natural response to say, well, we're going to require these kids to be vaccinated. And we are doing this because we don't want to see outbreaks of contagious diseases in our schools.
So in 1855, Massachusetts became the first state to say, you know what, kids can't come to school unless they get the smallpox vaccine, which is the only vaccine available back then.
Did other states do the same thing, follow suit?
Not really. Here's James again.
A few did in a sort of patchwork way. But generally, compulsory vaccination was not so widely used in the middle decades of the 20th century.
The 20th century, so that's a good 100 years after that first vaccine law was passed, and schools were still not requiring vaccinations.
Yeah. School vaccine laws had still not totally caught on by the middle of the 20th century. By 1969, only about half of states had mandatory vaccination laws, and a lot of those were, again, only about smallpox, even though by that point, scientists had invented lots of promising new vaccines.
People mostly welcomed these vaccines and were usually quite eager to get their children to be vaccinated.
But in that same decade, the federal government is growing in size and aspiration, a great society, right? And it wants states to get more in line, be more uniform, and health officials are starting to focus on vaccines, and they're pushing more states to pass laws around them. So Alaska is one of the states that hears this call. And in 1970, lawmakers there make a new rule. They say students have to get vaccinated before coming to school.
Okay, so no shots, no school.
Exactly. And this ends up actually being a real turning point in vaccine history. So a few years after this new vaccine law had passed in Alaska, a 27-year-old medical resident named John Madaw moved to America's last frontier, and he soon found himself right at home.
You know, it was the height of the pipeline boom, and it was just crazy. The state was young, the attorney general was 35 years old, the governor was young, and it's really hard to describe.
John was a minister's son from Baltimore, and by 27, he'd already crisscrossed the globe. He'd ridden motorcycles across the Canadian Rockies, worked medical clinics in rural Ethiopia. And in 1975, the Centers for Disease Control offered him a 2-year gig in Alaska. And the state at the time didn't have an epidemiologist.
And I just thought, wow, I've always wanted to see Alaska, and here's a chance to go up there for 2 years. So I'll get to see the state, and I'll have an adventure.
That adventure started from the moment he touched down in Anchorage, Alaska's biggest city.
And leaving the airport, it turned out that the road was part of the taxiway for small planes, so we were in a line with a Cessna in front of us kicking gravel up into the car, and then we drove into one of the major intersections, and it hadn't been paved yet, and it had been raining, and there were two four-wheel drive vehicles stuck in the intersection that were trying to get themselves out of the mud.
In the fall of 1976, Alaska got really interesting. A measles outbreak started in Anchorage and spread throughout the state. John was confused. Hadn't they just passed a law mandating measles shots? He started visiting schools to figure out the situation.
And in this first array of schools that we went to, they virtually didn't have any immunization records. And the ones that they did have were very incomplete. And we're actually dismayed by this and saying, how could this possibly have happened?
There was a vaccine law on the books, but schools weren't following the law.
At the start of that campaign, we identified out of about 100,000 students in the state, there were about 30,000 that were missing some of the vaccines.
John and his colleagues had an idea that, remarkably, hadn't really been tried before. They said, let's actually enforce the law. Or to put it more bluntly, let's kick kids out of school.
I didn't know better. I actually just saw, hey, it's required. These vaccines are safe. We're in the midst of an outbreak. And why aren't we enforcing the requirement?
John called his boss at the Centers for Disease Control to tell him the plan.
And the first comment was that, well, you'll never be able to do that. And I said, why not? And he said, well, people won't support enforcing that.
Okay, a quick history break here. Because young John Madaw's boss had a point. Anti-vaccine attitudes are as old as vaccines, and ever since the 1800s, people tried to block mandatory vaccination laws. The most famous case stemmed from a smallpox outbreak in 1902. To curb the epidemic, the town of Cambridge, Massachusetts, ordered everyone to get vaccinated. Public health historian James Colgrove says eventually that order reached a guy named Henning Jacobson.
The vaccinator came to his house and said, we're here to vaccinate you and your family, and he refused, and they fined him $5.
That's right, $5.
Which in today's money would be probably $100, $150. So, you know, not a huge amount, but you know, if you're a working family, that could be a burden.
We don't actually know a ton about Henning Jacobson. He was a Swedish immigrant and a Lutheran minister.
And apparently his opposition was at least partly rooted in a prior bad experience that he had. So when the vaccinator came to his house, he said, well, several years ago, one of my sons was vaccinated and he had a very bad reaction. And so for that reason, I'm not willing to undergo this again.
Henning Jacobson's case went all the way to the Supreme Court. In other cases, lower courts had disagreed on whether these vaccine laws violated the Constitution. But in a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court justices said the minister, Henning Jacobson, would have to pay that $5 fine.
So the rationale was really that people who don't want to be vaccinated can present a danger to the community.
But even with the law on their side, lots of states laid off the mandates for decades, thinking it would just be easier for everyone if the government didn't get too involved. And that brings us back to the fall of 1976 and the rough and tumble state of Alaska. Epidemiologist John Madaw and his colleagues were dealing with this measles outbreak, and they were frustrated. So the state made a declaration. Anyone who couldn't prove they'd been vaccinated by March 1st of the following year would be sent home from school. And on that day, the state turned away about 8% of the entire school population of Alaska. And then most families got on board. Within a month, almost every Alaskan school kid had been immunized and the outbreak faded.
And so others rapidly saw that the public was way more supportive of trying to protect kids against vaccine-preventable diseases than anybody had suspected.
Emboldened by their success, the CDC partnered with First Lady Rosalynn Carter on a campaign to expand and enforce vaccination laws. And by 1980, all 50 states required kids to get at least certain vaccinations before entering school.
Many of the states did just what Alaska did and said, nope, it's going to be all kids, all grades, all vaccines.
Dr. John Madaw is 70 now and recently retired, but vaccination law kept evolving long after his Alaska experiment. states started piling on more school vaccine requirements. Allison Buttenheim studies vaccine laws at the University of Pennsylvania and says some moms and dads today are confused by the sheer number of requirements.
Now, you know, I think parents are starting to say, like, another, like, pneumococcal, meningococcal. Like, I don't even know what those diseases are. Do we really need, you know, hep A, hep B? Like, how many heps are there?
Remember that in the beginning, these school-based laws were supposed to stop the spread of disease among children. But you might say public health officials got a little greedy. They saw how effective these laws were and started targeting diseases that don't typically spread among kids.
And a lot of parents, I think, that kind of prejudices them against the whole childhood vaccine schedule. Like, you're going to vaccinate my newborn baby today for a sexually transmitted disease that I don't have and I don't expect this kid to be exposed to for a very long time, you know, WTF.
You can feel that sense of WTF in today's opposition to mandatory vaccines. This is a 2015 rally in California where protesters gathered to oppose a change in the state's school vaccine law.
That SB 277 has definitely awoken a sleeping giant.
For years, California let parents opt their kids out of vaccines if they had a religious or philosophical objection. The state removed those exemptions in 2015. Today, if you're trying to avoid getting your kid vaccinated, you have to provide a medical reason. Allison Buttenheim is studying the fallout of all this, and she's not yet sure if the change really worked or if it just made people angrier. She thinks states might be better off letting parents claim religious or personal belief exemptions, but making it harder to get them.
So if you have to go get a healthcare provider signature, if you have to get an affidavit, if you have to get a something notarized, that may be just enough of a hassle factor that it's just easier to go get the kid vaccinated and bring the records into school.
It took a long time for states to get really serious about school vaccination laws. Then they got really serious. Now we're in a moment again where public health experts are wondering how far they can go before hurting their own cause. For The Pulse, I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron.